On Sunday, October 28th at 11 p.m., Shug in My Bowl will feature Eric Friedler, the director of It Must Swing, The Blue Note Story, which is screening at the upcoming Doc NYC film series. That's Sunday, October 28th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. To WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Shug in My Bowl is the name of this program. My name's Joyce Jones. Our guest for this evening is the director of It Must Swing, The Blue Note Story, Eric Friedler. Tonight is my birth Earth Day, and I will be playing selections from the film and also Blue Note label favorites of mine. You know, it's not an easy task trying to figure out which tunes to include for the radio program. I don't know if it was easy for Eric, but it wasn't for me. Of course, you know, WBAI is in membership fundraising mode, so we'll need assistance from you by calling 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or go to give2wbai.org, give2wbai.org, or you can text us by entering 41444 and text TRANSMIT 995. 41444 and text TRANSMIT 995. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Shug in My Bowl starting now. I want some sugar.
Is this where you live? I live here in music. I live on C sharp street. My friend lives on B flat avenue. Do you live in music? Sound falls around me like rain on other folks. Saxophones wet my face, cold as winter in St. Louis, hot like peppers I rub on my lips thinking they was lilies. I got 15 trumpets where other women got hips and an upright bass for both sides of my heart. I be walking around in a piano like other folks be walking around the earth. I live in music. I live in it. I wash in it. I could even smell it. Where sounds on my fingers sound so full of music. You could make a river where your arm is and just hold yourself. Sound so full of music. You could make a river where your arm is and just hold yourself. Just wrap yourself. You could make a river where your arm is and just hold yourself. Just wrap yourself. You could wind yourself. Just hold yourself in a music. I live in music. Is this where you live? I live here on C sharp street. My friend lives on B flat avenue. Sound falls so full of music, you could make a river where your arm is. And just wrap yourself, just cover yourself, just kiss yourself. You could just hold yourself in a music.
It's still the best recorded physical music on the planet. And I think we all understood that these two white guys, they had faith in our ability to make some music. The Lion and the Wolf, we call them. The Lion and the Wolf. looking at them from the outside, we could say they were on a mission.
Blue Note, that's amazing. And they know what they're doing. They got their chops together, and it's taken over the world.
And around New York, they were saying, Blue Note, that's the one to get with. That's the label to be with.
Making money and living a great lifestyle was not their mission.
Their rewards was to have series and continuation of good jazz records.
So they let their love for the music be the guide.
Alfred had this cartoon German accent that was so heavy that it was something from a Warner Brothers cartoon.
It has to swing. It's not swinging.
All Alfred would say, the strongest thing he would say, it's not swinging. He wanted to swing.
Excuse me? Will you repeat that or whatever?
In the meantime, Frank was taking pictures.
He was a photographer. He'd be dancing around.
I mean, it wasn't expert dancing at all. It was just kind of stumbling around. But his body was moving up and down. And if he wasn't doing that, that was not a good thing.
Thank you. Hi, my name's Joyce Jones, and I'm on the line with...
Eric Friedler.
Eric Friedler, thank you so much for joining Sugar in My Bowl. Let me tell you, first off, I really enjoy It Must... Now, you know, I'm going to have a hard time saying that. It Must Swing, the Blue Note story. Thank you so much for making it. I really appreciate it.
Hi, I'm happy to be with you today, Joyce, and I'm very happy that the film will be shown on Duck NYC very soon.
Yes, and you'll be here for the screening of that on November 10th.
I will be there. A few of the crew members will be there, and Wim Wenders, who execute produced it, will be there.
Yes.
So we'll all be there, and we look very much forward.
How did you wind up deciding that this was going to be your subject for this film?
Well, I've been always fascinated by the story of these two German young guys who went to America and started in 1939 a record label that went on to become Allegiant. You know, one of the most famous record companies in the world, with the best music, in my opinion, mm-hmm. in the world. I mean, from 1,000 albums, you have probably 950 classics up to this day, with unbelievable performers from Miles Davis to John Coltrane and Thelonious Monk and Herbie Hancock and Kenny Burrell, etc., etc. And a few of these are also in the film, like Sonny Rollins, Kenny Burrell, and yes. Quincy Jones, and they all tell the story with us together about these two young Germans who went out to encounter the world. Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
And the young Germans are Fred Lyon and Francis Wolff.
Exactly. And they had this very, very German accent. You know, they spoke English like this all the time. And few of those who worked with them together are remembering that, like Wayne Shorter and Herbie Hancock or Benny Golson, remembering very well what it meant to work with these two men together and what it meant when they said, it must swing. They didn't say swing, they said swing. But that was the most critical thing they could say about the recording. And all of them knew that when they said it's not swinging, they don't have the groove.
Right.
Yeah.
there's a method that you use in this film to tell the story that it was just exquisite. Animation. You have a lot of interviews. There's animation, and there's lots of music. Tell me, how did you decide to take the route of animation?
Well, we have found a lot of wonderful sound bites, but, you know, how can you bring sound bites to life? So we used the sound bites as a platform for animation and to bring scenes to life that we know that people tell us about, and also in interviews, but only recording interviews, sound interviews. So we had to find a way to bring them to life, and we thought that animation is the best way to do it. We never thought about doing it with actors or reenactment, because how can you bring sound bites to life with that? So once we found these sound bites, and some of them are unbelievable, I mean, for the first time, everybody who somehow is dealing with Blue Note knows that Frank Wolf never spoke anything. I mean, this guy was so introverted, he didn't speak. So to have him once speaking about Blue Note Records, that was a wonderful thing to find. And so that also was a big motivation to bring Frank to life. But besides of that, we also found unbelievable archive footage, 8mm filming of Frank Wolf, private scenes with him together, and that the animation, the archive footage, the interview, everything together is this film. Yeah.
the thing that I really enjoy, there are so many things that I enjoy about this film. The fact that it's a film of, in addition to the music, is a story of friendship.
Yeah.
They were childhood friends who hung out in clubs. Do you want to talk a little bit
about
that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's a film about music, of course, but it's not only a film for jazz buffs. This film is also a film about society, about friendship, about freedom of art, about respect for artists. And Itmar Schwing also tells, I think, also the moving story of two friends united by a passionate love for jazz, for music, and their profound belief in equality and freedom for every single human being. And we are speaking about times when also Afro-American musicians were discriminated against. And Alfred Lion and Francis Wolff gave these musicians with Blue Note also a home, a platform. They recognized them also as equal partners. So way before the civil rights movement, way before the 50s, way before, you know, I Have a Dream from Martin Luther King, Blue Note Records already turned this utopian vision into reality by just living it.
Yes. And it also covers just, which I've not seen anyone really cover on the screen with regard to the Blue Note story, just the political backdrop that was occurring in the lives of Alfred Lion and Francis Wolff once they came to this country. And the musicians.
Yeah.
That, I take it, was a very important story you had to include?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. I mean, you have to include these kind of things because everything belongs together. I mean, people were living at that time. It was not that they were living on an island and they didn't see what was going on. I mean, we live today too, and we have to look what's going on in America and the world and Europe. And we see the things. And it was not that Alfred Lion and Francis Wolff were activists. They were no activists with a political agenda or something. They just intuitively, instinctively, and saying, let's make music, but they went beyond any kind of barriers. For them, there was not black and white. They were totally colorblind, and they just said, okay, we are one. But they just lived it. It was not on their agenda. It was not that they said we have to be political correct. For them, it was naturally. And that's so special about it.
Yeah, I think it's also how it's expressed during the animation.
Thank you.
way it was conveyed, the change of the political climate in Germany motivated Alfred Lyons to leave first, and then Francis Wolfe came later. Alfred Lyons' experiences here, just how you told that story using animation, what he encountered, just a person wanting to enjoy the music, and he's encountered by ruffians. It was really just very moving, just seeing that story.
Yeah. But we also speak about this film as also, as I said before, it is also a story of respect for art, for musicians. And one anecdote to say that they paid for rehearsals.
Right.
Today you would say, okay, that's normal. But at that time it was not normal. In the 50s, 60s, to pay for rehearsals,
right.
Normally people just came into the studio, okay, play, goodbye. Don't call us, we call you.
Right.
So a lot of them felt very used. But as Lou Donaldson said, it was like a family company. These two guys were my friends.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't act like executives of a record company. They behaved like friends, and they never used the musicians. They paid everything on time. They paid good, and they also paid for rehearsals. And even that shows how much they respected the artist in their work.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. My name is Joyce Jones. Our guest for this evening is the director of It Must Schwing, the Blue Note Story, Eric Friedler. What you're listening to in the background is the title selection from Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers' Free For All, released in 1964 on the Mighty Mighty Blue Note label. Art Blakey on drums, Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, Wayne Shorter on tenor saxophone, he's also the composer, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Cedar Walton on piano, Reggie Workman on bass. Before that, one of my favorites from Bobby Hutcherson. He is nowhere in this film, but, you know, it's hard to include everybody. But it's my birthday, so I want to hear Bobby Hutcherson. The theme from Blow Up, from Bobby Hutcherson's 1967 Blue Note release, Oblique. Bobby Hutcherson on vibraphone, Herbie Hancock on piano, he's also the composer, Albert Stinson on bass, and Joe Chambers on drums. Before that, Wavy Gravy from Kenny Burrell from his 1967 Blue Note release, Midnight Blue, Kenny Burrell on guitar, he's also the composer, Stanley Turrentine on tenor saxophone, Major Holly Jr. on bass, Bill English on drums, and Ray Barreto on conga. Before that, Quicksilver from the Art Blakey Quintet, A Night at Birdland. This is a 1956 Blue Note Records release. Clifford Brown on trumpet, Lou Donaldson, Sweet Papa Lou, on alto saxophone, Horace Silver on piano, he's also the composer, Curly Russell on bass, and Art Blakey on drums. Before that, we heard Wayne Shorter's 1966 Blue Note Records release, Adam's Apple, that is the title selection, Wayne Shorter, tenor saxophone, he's also the composer, Herbie Hancock on piano, Reginald Workman on bass, and Joe Chambers on drums. Before that, we heard the trailer for It Must Schwing, the Blue Note Story. We opened the program to recognize the transition of the artist Entezaki Shange. We heard I Live in Music. This is from Nappy Edges, Entezaki Shange with the William Goffigan Ensemble. I'm not certain who else is part of the ensemble, but William Goffigan is on drums, and Entezaki Shange is the spoken word artist. We here at Sugar in My Bowl extend our condolences to her sister, Aoife Baeza, to whom we spoke when we provided a Abby Lincoln special, and to the rest of the family. Before that, we opened the program with our theme from Nina Simone, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl from the very best of Nina Simone, Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. It was originally recorded in 1967. This is from a 1998 RCA BMG compilation. And I need to remind you that we need your assistance during this membership drive. You can call us at 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or go to give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org, or you can enter the number 41444 and text transmit 995. That's 41444, that's the number, and text transmit 995. As you know, we here at Pacifica are not rolling in cash. We don't have a surplus. That's why we need your assistance. And you can help us by becoming a sustaining member. We call that a BAI buddy. And you can, for a pledge of $10 or more a month, arrange to have extracted in the way that you would want your money extracted from you to help us continue this listener support experiment. You can find out more by going to give to WBAI.org. That's G-I-V-E, the number 2, WBAI.org, or you can call 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or you can text the number 41444 and text transmit 995. That's 41444 and text transmit 995. Stay tuned for our On the Bandstand segment with our associate producer Hank Williams and more from director Eric Friedler and our discussion about It Must Schwing, the Blue Note story. Sugar in My Bowl continues.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for October 28th. This segment features aerial listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests so you can see them live. And this week's guest is Eric Friedler, director of It Must Swing, The Blue Note Story. You can see him at the film's New York premiere on Saturday, November 10th, and that's part of the Doc NYC Festival. Advance tickets are available through the Doc NYC website and highly recommended. And we've got a preview of jazz films at the festival on our blog. And this is normally the time when we go into the shows of the week, and we'll do that in a moment, but WBAI Radio's fall fun drive is underway, and it needs your support to stay on the air and keep this show on the air. You can support the station by calling 516-620-3602 while we're on the air. That's 516-620-3602, or pledge online at give2wbai.org. You can make a one-time pledge for as little as $5, or consider becoming a sustaining member with a monthly pledge, which we encourage you to do, and we call that being a BAI buddy. It also gets you a few extra perks and voting rights in station elections. That's particularly helpful because it gives the station a steady and predictable stream of funds. And I'll repeat all that info at the bottom of the segment after our music listings. And we start this week with vocalist Catherine Russell, who's at the Beacon Theater with Steely Dan on October 29th and 30th. Bassist Ron Carter is at Birdland from October 30th through November 2nd with his Golden Striker Trio. Bassist Christian McBride is at the National Jazz Museum in Harlem for a talk on November 1st. He'll also be leading a big band for an evening of Latin jazz at Newark's NJ PAC on November 9th. Vocalist and pianist Diane Shore is at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Appel Room on November 2nd and 3rd. Pianist Mark Carey's Harlem Sessions series continues as a Saturday night set at Smoke on November 3rd and 10th. Trumpeter Ahmed Abdullah leads the Diaspora Ensemble at Brooklyn Sisters Place on November 3rd. Tubist Joe Daly is at Terra Blues with Hazmat Modine on November 3rd and 17th. Saxophonist James Brandon Lewis is at the Clemente Soto Vela Center on the 4th for a free afternoon set as part of Arts for Arts Sunday Afternoon Series. Looking a little further ahead, poets Abiodun Oyewole and Felipe Luciano are at the Apollo Theater on the 5th for a conversation about the origins and impact of the last poets. Drummer Will Calhoun is at Brooklyn Bowl with Living Color on the 6th and at Iridium with David Sanchez on November 11th and 12th. Drummer Bobby Sanabria is at the Gateway Office Complex in downtown Newark for a free lunchtime performance on the 7th, and that's part of WBGO Radio's concert series. Vocalist Diane Reeves is at Newark's NJ PAC on the 8th. Drummer Antonio Sanchez presents Birdman Live at Newark's NJ PAC on the 8th. The Sun Ra Orchestra, led by Marshall Allen, returns to Earth at New Blue on the 10th. Drummer Terry Lynn Carrington presents Money Jungle at Newark's NJ PAC on the 11th. Guitarist Mark Rebo has a residency at The Stone from November 13th through 17th. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, full listings are on our blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog, where you'll also find reviews, features, and jazz news. And Sugar is spelled S-U-G-A. Playlists and audio from this and previous shows are also on the website. If you're on Twitter and Facebook, look for us there too, where we'd appreciate likes, tweets, and shares with your friends. And if you really like what we do, please help the station stay on the air by pledging whatever you can and considering becoming a WBAI buddy during this fall fun drive with a monthly pledge at 516-620-3602 while we're on air, or online at give2wbai.org, and the support WBAI link on our website also gives you additional details. And we're grateful for any help you can give the station. This is Hank Williams signing off with our bi-weekly schedule. We're off the air next week. We'll have updated event listings online and be back on air on November 11th. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on the Bandstand.
Hi, how's your mama? Hi, this is Roy Ayers. When I'm in New York, I listen to WBAI 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
Also, something that's displayed, in addition to being professional and paying the musicians, there's also sort of kinship with the musicians. Certainly the treatment of the pianist Bud Powell.
Thank you.
there's a scene that shows their compassion in handling.
Yeah, of helping, of being more than a friend. I mean, helping to see, okay, this man, he's sick, but this man is a genius.
Right.
We have to help him. Mm-hmm. He cannot live on the street or being thrown out of a club. Yes, he's a drug addict, but we help this man.
Right.
And there were not too many companies doing that. They said, okay, that's a job, goodbye, good luck, come or go. But to help a person like that beyond the professional way, that was extraordinary. But also to believe in artists at times where they didn't have success. I mean, let's speak about Thelonious Monk. He worked with Blue Note for years, and he didn't sell a lot of records. And they still believed in him over years, till he had his breakthrough. Just imagine to believe in an artist and to record with him over years and knowing that he doesn't sell a record at all. Mm-hmm. But they know and they knew one day he will be a star. And that's more than visionary, in my opinion.
Thank you.
For those who may not know, the club owner, Lorraine Gordon, was first married to Alfred Lion, and she brought Thelonious Monk to Alfred Lion's attention.
Exactly. She turned him around somehow, Alfred, to the modern times, and we can thank, actually, Lorraine Gordon for that, for doing it. But, you know, they were in love. There was an unbelievable relationship. Blue Note was everything in their life when they were together, from late at night to the morning, mostly in the night, because everything was being done in the night. Also, a lot of the sessions were being done in the night, because what was also so special about this company is that they took sometimes from the clubs the musicians, and they went to Rudy Van Gelder's studio, and they recorded there in the night, because they were still in the good mood, you know, instead of doing it in the afternoon, you know, or in the morning. So you don't find too many companies doing things like that, you know, saying it's 3 o'clock in the morning, let's go now in the studio.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You mentioned Rudy Van Gelder, and there's a very special interview that you obtained for the film, and I believe it is Rudy Van Gelder's last interview before he transitioned.
Exactly. It's Rudy Van Gelder's last interview, and we were privileged to make this interview with him, and he wanted to make this interview with us because, as he said, if you hear a Blue Dot record, you hear Alfred Lion, not me. I think that was the biggest compliment one of the most famous sound technicians of all time can make for a producer of records.
All the images are running around my head as I'm talking to you because it's such a beautiful film. The interviews themselves, you talk to many musicians here. And how did you decide that these would be the musicians that would be in the film?
First of all, for a lot of them, it's probably the last opportunity to speak with them because these men are already, some of them are 88, over 90.
Right.
Speaking about Sonny Rollins, you know, thanks God this man is there. He's a legend as well as all the others. Of course, we had to speak to Herbie Hancock or to Wayne Shorter and to Lou Donaldson and Ron Carter and to Sheila Jordan, who is becoming 90 this year, and Jimmy Heath and Kenny Burrell. Just go on with it, you know, Benny Goldson.
Yes.
These men, you know, it's the last chance to make an interview with them, I think, on this kind of topic. And we were privileged that they took themselves the time for wonderful interviews that we could do. And for them, shows their loyalty, that they are so thankful towards these two guys, Alfred Lion and Francis Wolfe, because, as Herbie Hancock said, Blue Note is like home base. Mm-hmm. That's where they all started their career. And without them, maybe they wouldn't be there today.
The music itself, there are lots of beautiful tunes in this film from the Blue Note catalog. There's a lot of music.
I think it's great that we have Killing Joe from Benny Goldson inside and other things. Of course, there are some music pieces that they didn't record for Blue Note. But, for instance, with Killing Joe, we took a piece that is somehow identified with Benny Goldson, for instance. And I think also these kind of things bring the whole story to life and make it so amazing, and people recognize the one or the other piece, and knowing, ah, wow, that's from them, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay, I understand. You have so many classic pieces that influenced also music of today. You cannot just ignore them. You have to somehow listen to it, and you think it is important. Sure, it's a film about music.
Sure.
I'm just a woman, a lonely woman, waiting on a weary shore. I'm just a woman who's only human, one you should feel sorry for. Woke up this morning around about dawn, without a warning, I found he was gone. Why did he do it? How could he do it? He never did it before. The plan. with you. Am I blue? Am I blue? Am I blue?
So this film, It Must Swing, the Blue Note story. What are the plans for it after it screens at Doc NYC?
Well, it's a film that will be shown on one or the other festival, like at Doc NYC. And while it's a very strong cooperation with German public television, it will be shown on German public television quite soon. And Germany is also a country for people that love jazz up to this day, very much so, similar to France and to other European countries. So we hope that the people will feel as strong for Blue Note Records as we do. We are happy that we invited to show a film on a festival, which is always something very wonderful. And wonderful film. It's a small production. And we are happy that also public television in Germany, which is a total different structure than in the United States, they really try to help art and films like this to come alive here. So we are happy that it will be shown here.
Wim Wenders, how did he become involved in the project?
Well, Wim Wenders is, I think, one of the best music documentary makers in the world, and him giving his advice to us how the film could look and be best is the best thing that can happen to somebody and best thing that happened to me. I was very happy. He's a jazz lover. He knows Blue Note, and he was always fascinated about the story of these two guys, and for him it was not a question to support the project.
There's a participant. One of the interviews that you conduct is with Kenneth Wolfe. He's the nephew of Francis Wolfe?
Yes.
How did you come upon him to participate?
We found him. He's living in London, and we made our research, and we were happy because there are not too many relatives left in the world, and I think he's the only living relative of Francis Wolfe, so it was important for us to get this kind of voice, also while he knew him personally, to describe him, his character, and his motivation.
Wow, that is great. Did you conduct the interviews yourself? Were you the sole interviewer?
Yes.
Wow.
The only one.
Wow, yeah. Excellent. How long did it take, the process of making this film?
Yeah, a few years, I think. Altogether, probably 4 or 5.
Oh.
And I must say that somehow we got a lot of support. Of course, it took long to get, we are not promoted by a big label or by somebody who says, okay, here are the stars. We had to do it ourselves and to approach the people, you know, and to write them and to get to them. And as you know, it's not always so easy to convince management.
Right.
But once when you sit together with somebody like Wayne Shorter and he says, why didn't you call me earlier?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, of course I want to speak about it.
Wow.
But it's always difficult to make the first steps, of course. So some things took a while. But once we were sitting with all these world stars, Grammy and Oscar winning men and women together, we knew how important it was for them to support the film and to support the project. And they are supporting it up to this day. And that was wonderful.
done several films. Tell us about yourself. This isn't your first documentary.
No, it isn't. I made a few films in my life. But, yeah, Blue Note was the film that I always wanted to make and always wanted to do. It was, you know, you fell in love with things, and I think that people see how much I am in love with this music and these two guys. And it's a long film of 150 minutes. I made a lot of films, a lot of political films, also films about music. And some were good, and some were not so good. But you always try your best. And that's the way it goes. Yeah, what else can I say?
There are several.
I'm not American to say, you know, in America, everybody's saying, yes, I'm the best. I'm the nicest.
No.
I'm the greatest, and I'm huge. But we have more the Scandinavian mentality, you know, to say, okay, you know, look at the film, and then you will find out. So we will never praise ourselves too much.
There's a filmography that was included, and that's why I'm asking you about the films. And I understand that you've won awards for some of these films that were listed here.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah. Some of the films were being awarded as best documentary in Germany or in Europe and things like this. But I never crossed the border. Nothing American inside of it.
Okay. How did you choose being a filmmaker as your vocation? Did you just... I love films, and this is what you... Or you had stories you wanted to tell?
That's the only thing I can do. I cannot do anything else, you know. Try to make me repair a bicycle or a car, and it will be nothing, you know. I've got two left hands on this. But people say that I can make films in Germany, and it's a big country, and it's a documentary country. People love documentaries in this country very, very much. Some of them have sometimes even higher ratings than some fictional things that are running. So it's a documentary country, I would say, also like some Scandinavian countries. So that's wonderful. And it gives me a lot of opportunity to make the films and to express myself. And especially the structure of public television here supporting also films that are not mainstream. That's a wonderful structure that's only in Germany you have a structure like this. And we know how hard it is in other countries that art and films like this are supported. I mean, nobody's waiting actually for a film to say, okay, we make a film about Blue Note. You have to also somehow have people besides you that are convinced.
Right. Did you attend university to study filmmaking?
No, I studied something completely different.
Oh.
And I thought, okay, but, you know, you start with journalism or you start with other things. And I always tried that everything that I see and that I want to express also to other people, my observations I want to express to other people and my way of seeing things. And also somehow it's always wonderful if you, I don't know if people want to understand it, maybe it's too trivial for others, but if I find a clip of 20 seconds of Francis Wolff dancing
on
8mm archive footage and it's never seen before, and I find it in a little clip and I can reconstruct it, and I go into the studio and I bring it up to life, and we are working on this kind of clip for so many weeks to recreate it again because it was broken and damaged. And that is such a big satisfaction for me. I don't know if people will understand it, but that's for me the whole thing. Or that you sit with people together and they forget if they are celebrities or not. They speak about friendship and about life and about art, and everything is forgotten. There are no barriers. And that's also a wonderful feeling, especially concerning this kind of film, you know. And it brings feelings, and it gives me good feelings. So what else can I say, you know? I'm a happy person. I'm really a satisfied, happy hippo. You know, I'm happy.
Well, I really appreciate the work that you put in to include that dance footage. That is so beautiful. I was so happy to see that of Francis Wolff dancing. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And there was another interview that you got your hands on. It's in German of Alfred Lyons and Francis Wolff, I think, in 1964, I guess it is.
Yes, we found an interview that was made and that was long lost in German language. It's the only interview that was made with them in German language. And it's a radio interview and actually belongs to the station that is supporting this film in Germany. And this man worked for them and he said, I want to make an interview with Alfred Lyon and Francis Wolff in the 60s. And he made it. And since then, it was lying somewhere in the archives.
Wow.
And that was also one of those initial moments, and that's how the whole project actually began. It began with a small idea, you know, like, oh, let's do great music, Blue Note, okay, and then suddenly we found this film. So it started very regional, very small. Everything was first with this small tape and sound bites in German language, and then it became bigger and bigger once we got the opportunity to speak with Herbie Hancock or with somebody else. Then it became bigger and bigger, but it really started very, very small, the whole project. Very regional, with this one archive tape of this interview. And actually, that was the first time that Blue Note and Jazz came to Germany, and especially to the north of Germany. Everything began with that, you know. And it could have been that we just make this, you know. But, you know, once you get the chance to speak with Herbie Hancock, I mean, where do you stop, you know? I mean, right. You have to continue, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I noticed that interview. It reminded me of another film, another documentary. It was a Lee Morgan film. I think it was also based in Europe, but the interview was conducted by someone in North Carolina, and I can't think of his name right now, but he had an interview with Lee Morgan's common-law wife, Helen Morgan, and they were able to create that film based on that interview. And
based on that interview, and I saw the film, and when the film came out, we were already finished with ours.
Sure.
But the difference is that we take the sound bites and we bring them to life through the animation. I mean, you see the people speaking in sync.
Right.
With the sound of this interview, but with animation of today.
Right. And that's what I was going to say. It's like, you used like these... Okay, let me slow down because I'm getting excited again. This is such a great film.
Yeah.
You use these methods, different methods of telling a story to such great effect, having the interview and using the animation. Right up to the closing credits, there's the music and the animation. There's a trumpet, just as an example. The trumpet is moving to the rhythm of the music. It's like,
exactly.
This is amazing.
Yeah, everything in sync, and that made it so hard to make it and to mm-hmm. realize it at the end, because we went into every detail. It was not only that we made research before to find how did the locations look like, how did the people look like, but also they are moving, every instrument, every saxophone, every trumpet is moving and being played in the rhythm, in the takt of the music.
Right.
And that was for all of us hard work, very hard work, day and night work.
I appreciated seeing it, and I suspect others will as well, who attend Doc NYC on Saturday, November 10th. There's a 4 p.m. screening, and Eric Friedler, the director, along with other members of the film, will be at this screening, and there's also a Q&A, I suspect, as well.
Exactly.
I'm so looking forward to your visiting.
Thank you very much,
with this
Joyce.
Film. Thank you so much for making it. This is... by far, probably the best, to my understanding, the best documentary on Blue Note. Well, it's one of the best. It is definitely, is certainly worth seeing.
Just say it, Joyce. Just say it. Just say it. When you think it's the best, just say it.
It's the best!
Oh, okay. Now you're going. Now you're talking.
It's okay. So beautiful. Thank you so much, Eric.
Thank you, Joyce.
We'd like to inform you, those of you who just came in, we're recording up here this evening, live, we hope, from the Village Gate. We'd like for you all to help us get in the groove. Let your hair down and come on and get in the music with us. We would like to do for you at this time a brand new composition of ours, written about a mythical young man of rather dubious character. We'd like to have you all join in with us on this one and help us find the groove by patting your feet or popping your fingers or clapping your hands or shaking your heads or shaking whatever else you want to shake while we do a little thing we call Filthy McNasty.
You're listening to the closing moments of Sugar in My Bowl. My name is Joyce Jones, and our guest for this evening was the director of It Must Schwing, the Blue Note story, Eric Friedler. Many thanks to Eric Friedler for joining us for this broadcast. Many, many thanks to Ellen Worth, who is the kind of publicity person that we love here at Sugar in My Bowl. She really helped make things happen in a very speedy manner. Thank you so much, Ms. Worth. We're closing the program in the same way that the film It Must Schwing, the Blue Note story, is closed. Filthy McNasty from Horace Silver from Doing the Thing at the Village Gate. 1961 Blue Note Records release. Horace Silver on piano, Blue Mitchell on trumpet, Junior Cook tenor saxophone, Gene Taylor bass, and Roy Brooks on drums. Before that, Namely You from Sonny Rollins. Nuke's Time, 1957 Blue Note Records release. Sonny Rollins tenor saxophone, Wynton Kelly piano, Doug Watkins bass, and Philly Joe Jones on drums. Before that, we heard Three Bags Full, Herbie Hancock's debut as a leader, Taken Off, the 1962 Blue Note Records release. Herbie Hancock, pianist and composer. Freddie Hubbard on trumpet. Dexter Gordon on tenor saxophone. Butch Warren on bass and Billy Higgins on drums. Before that, we heard Am I Blue? This is the only storyteller who's there that's a woman. But that's all right, too. And that's a good thing. Sheila Jordan from Portrait of Sheila, 1962 Blue Note Records release. Sheila Jordan's the vocalist. Steve Swallow on bass. Barry Galbraith, guitar. And Denzel Bess is the drummer. Before that, we heard Stablemates from Benny Golson. Now, my idea that if you want to have a good film about Blue Note or anything else having to do with musicians who worked with Benny Golson, make sure Benny Golson is there. He is the best. I really enjoyed hearing him. I enjoyed hearing him in Chasing Train. This is from Benny Golson and the Philadelphians. Was originally recorded in 1958 on Blue Note Records. This is from a 1998 compilation. Benny Golson is the tenor saxophonist and composer. Lee Morgan on trumpet. Ray Bryant on piano. Percy Heath on bass and Philly Joe Jones on drums. Before that, we heard Off Minor from Thelonious Monk, Genius of Modern Music, Volume 1. This is a 1947 Blue Note Records release. Thelonious Monk is the pianist and composer. Gene Ramey, bass, and Art Blakey, drums. Before that, we heard Bud Powell, Autumn in New York, from The Amazing Bud Powell, Volume 1, 1951 Blue Note Records release. Bud Powell on piano, Curly Russell on bass, Max Roach on drums. Before that, we heard Un Poco Loco, also from Bud Powell, The Amazing Bud Powell, Volume 1. And of course, before that, we heard our On the Bandstand segment with our associate producer, Hank Williams. Stay tuned. La Nueva Alternativa is scheduled next. Sugar My Bowl is scheduled to return on November 11th. Don't forget, Doc NYC is happening. It runs from November 8th through 15th. It Must Swing is screening on Saturday, November 10th at 4 p.m. You can find out more about Doc NYC and what other events are available in addition to film screenings. Just go to docnyc.net. docnyc.net. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Stay tuned.
Thank you very much. How about a nice hand for Blue Mitchell trumpet, Jimmy Cook tenor saxophone, Roy Brooks drums, Dean Taylor bass, and yours truly. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Wow. Okay, we'll do another one. All right.
Hello. Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.